We all did that pretty well. The kids do it much better. We had a great vacation Bible school. Just before we get started, we want to thank again Gino, Claire, and Karen Smith for their hard work that they do each and every year. We understand they're trying to start backing out of that, and we want to oppose that and as much as we can. But they do a great job. And also the star of our VBS this year, Eric Gott, as Mr. Rogers, and he did a great Mr. Rogers. We haven't got to see all of them, but I also understand that Eric was by far and away the most filmed and the great star of all of the blooper outtakes. And so those were his. Having said that, I want to show you a video. I'm going to show you a video, and it'll be self-explanatory, and I'll say a little more about it. Am I blocking the screen? Can y'all see the screen? Okay. All right. Here we go. We have the sound. We had pictures from all over, a lot of people watching this from all over the world, really. And this happens to be Lenora, our next door neighbor. And this was her with the first night of EBS, and her mom made a video and sent it over to us, and so we were able to see it. And I wanted to share that video with you. Right now, Lenora is asking her mom, how did I get on TV? Because that's what she asked about. How did Mr. Duane get on TV? And so she's asking that herself. Here's what I want you to think about. And be ready. We're going to go to Philippians 4:4-9. You won't have to turn if you don't want to. I'm going to put every verse on the screen, and we're going to look at them separately. But I want you to think about this and think about it from your standpoint. She knew very few words in that song. She knew, I am so happy, and she would sing that. And she would sing, I have the love of Jesus. I'm so happy. Those are the things that she would sing and she would understand. She would hear the words, I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. But she had no idea what she was singing about. She had no idea what that meant. She had no idea how that happened. The peace that passes all understanding. Most of us are adults. How far have you come with your understanding of the peace that passes understanding? And is it down deep in your heart? And that's why I wanted us to look at Philippians 4:4-9, and go through these verses. And we're going to take them. What is this peace that passes understanding? And we're going to take these verses and we're going to look at them one at a time. And every slide is going to have at the top chapter 4, verses 4-9. But then the second verse are the two verses that will be on that particular slide. And we're going to break that down and we're going to take a look at it. I apologize. For those of you who normally get the outlines during the week, our grandchildren were with us this weekend, and they dominated and they took precedence, and I completely forgot about sending them out. They're on the computer, they're ready to go, but I never turned it on and never thought about them again. And I'll try to do that tonight, but you have them on the worship bulletin if you'd like to follow along, and this is it. Let's start with the first verse, and it's verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And Paul begins these last words. He wants the church at Philippi to know with these words, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. To rejoice means to be glad, to feel joy, to feel happiness. And Paul wants that joy and that happiness that we have in the Lord to be constantly on the mind of every Christian and constantly on the mind of every individual that belongs to God. And we need to ask ourselves, is it there? And the chief question, more important than that, that Paul is going to deal with is, how can I get it to be there? How can I recognize that I need to have it? And how can I have it? How can I have this joy in the Lord that's always with me and constantly with me? Then he says this to that church at Philippi, let your gentleness be evident to all. The words I say about other people, the words I think about other people, the way I deal with individuals who've not dealt fairly and well with me, the way I deal with others who are not being what they ought to be toward me. With all of the things that Paul went through, with all the persecutions he endured, all the things Jesus went through, especially Jesus, is not his gentleness evident to all? The Lord is near. The Lord is near, and that word gentleness means to be kind, to be tolerant, to put up with things, to be fair. And the word near, what does that mean? The Lord is near. Does that mean he's near in coming back? It could. Does it mean he's near in the sense that it's in him I live and move and have my very being? He knows everything I think. He knows everything about what's in my heart, everything about my motives, everything that I'm doing. The Lord knows everything there is to know about me. Could that be what he means? Yes, it could. It could be both of them. The Lord is near. The Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows what you're thinking. The Lord knows your attitudes. The Lord knows your heart, even before you know it, even before it's expressed in your thoughts. The Lord knows every single thing about us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll tell you, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your likeness of Jesus Christ, your being toward others what you would have them to be toward you. Let your gentleness be evident to all, not your friends, just them, but to everybody. Let your gentleness be evident to everybody. The Lord is near. And then he begins to get to the heart of it in verse 6. In verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay. Let's just be honest. Let's just take a look at this verse. And when we read that first section, do not be anxious about anything, is that where we stop? Is that where we say, that I can't do, that I never have been able to do, that I do not see any way that I will ever be able to do it? Therefore, this book written by Paul, this book written by God, is actually something that is an impossibility for me to keep. It is just some kind of list that's there that I cannot follow at all. Because no matter how hard I try, I am anxious. And no matter how hard I try, there are things that I am concerned about and that worry me and that trouble me. I cannot keep this commandment. Therefore, this book is nonsense to me. And there's no sense in me reading any further. Well, let's think about that a minute. Do not be anxious about anything. Is that a command from Paul? A command in the sense of the way we're taking it? Not at all. I'm going to skip down and we'll come back to the verse. Do you remember these two verses? Does Paul follow this verse? Do not be anxious. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, Paul is talking about all the things that he's troubled by. All of the things that he's going through in life that are making life difficult for him. And he says, in addition to all of the troubles, is my anxiety about all of the churches. What? You're anxious, Paul? Yes. You have all kinds of anxiety? Yes. And the one that is the most troubling is the anxiety I have toward all of the churches. Do you know that that word in 11:28, the concern that Paul has, or his anxiety, is exactly the same word that he used in Philippians chapter 4. Exactly the same word. Well, okay, Paul, so you're a hypocrite. You have anxiety. But surely you wouldn't encourage other people in their anxiety, would you? Well, if you back up to Philippians 2:20, Paul writes about Timothy and he says, I don't have anyone else like him who will be considerably concerned about your welfare. And again, that word concerned is the same word he uses in chapter 4, verse 6, about don't be anxious. So what is he talking about? If this is not something he lived by, if this is not something, but wait a second, maybe he did live by it, but in a different way than us. And maybe we can see it a little better if we think about this. When Jesus was headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to his disciples, my soul is deeply troubled, even to the point of death. Was he anxious? Did he have anxiety? Did he have concern? When he fell on his knees those three times, fell on his face and prayed to God three times until the blood came as sweat from his body, was he anxious? When he prayed for God to take it away, was he concerned? Yes, he was concerned. Yes, he was anxious. So what does Paul mean? How do we deal with the anxiety that every single one of us have? Paul tells us. Don't be anxious about anything, but about everything. No matter what it is that's bothering you, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your request. Four things about prayer. Prayer, you're talking to God. Petition, you're begging Him. You're pleading with Him. With thanksgiving, knowing who He is, knowing His power, knowing that He can do all things, even deal with you and your anxiety and the things that you're anxious about, even though He may not take them away, He can help you walk through them, which is what He did with Jesus. He didn't take away the cross. He walked with Him through it. And He strengthened him through it. And Paul is saying, here's how you get this peace. You talk to God. You ask God. You beg God. You plead with God. You offer God thanksgiving for His power. And you present your request. Could even be translated demands. You present with all of your heart what you really want. And then you turn it over to God, and now we come to faith. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God will help you? Maybe in a way you don't anticipate. Maybe not in the way you ask. But no matter what happens, We petition God, we ask Him, and we pray to Him. This is so important because this is the key. And we're going to see that in the next verse. But this is so absolutely important. Let me ask you something. Are you anxious about your walk with God? Are you concerned that if you died today, you would not go to heaven? Are you in Christ? Are you acknowledging your sin to God? Are you admitting the things that you've done wrong to God and asking Him to help you move away from them? And are you striving to move away from them? Do you trust His forgiveness? Do you trust His power to forgive, His desire to forgive? Do you trust Him? That's the whole key about this prayer. Do we trust Him? Do we know His love for us? Do we believe in Him? Look what happens next. When you offer that prayer, when you turn it to God, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lenora has no idea what the peace that passes understanding means. Have you ever thought about it? The peace that surpasses, transcends all understanding. Look at the words. Peace, in the Old Testament, the primary word for peace is the Hebrew word shalom. We know it as the greeting that Jewish people, the Israelites, met each other with. It means completeness, soundness, welfare. It carries with it almost the same idea of our word love from the Greek language, which is agape. To wish well for someone. To wish the best for someone. It's not about your feelings and how you feel about them personally. It's to be toward them what you would want them to be like toward you. But more importantly, it's to be toward other people what you know God wants you to be like toward them. In other words, to wish the very best for them. And to hope the very best for them. And to strive to help them toward that very best. Shalom. Peace. The peace, the completeness, the soundness, the welfare that comes from God, which transcends, it's greater than, and it surpasses all understanding. Everything you can think about it. Anything you can reason about it. Because the peace that God gives will be something I don't know how is there. I don't know how it came. I don't know how He did what He did. But I have this sense of comfort and peace. And because I have this sense of comfort and peace and well-being and determination to be what He wants me to be, because I've talked with Him and I've prayed to Him, there is a joy that's coming over me that's not described as a giddy happiness, but a joy that goes right along with assurance and right along with peace. So when we open up our heart to God in prayer, the peace that transcends and goes beyond all reason and thought ability that we can have will guard. It's like a soldier with a shield. Keep watch over. It will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Let's break the words down and let's take a look at them. What happened? Whoops. Okay, let's break them down. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, that means whatever is real, whatever is genuine, whatever is the truth, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, and the idea behind noble is the idea of being exactly what it ought to be. Something that is worthy. Something that would be considered worthy. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is correct, whatever is what I know God would have me to do, whatever is pure, whatever is chaste, whatever is to be honored, whatever is lovely, whatever is pleasing, pleasing to God, precious in His sight, whatever is admirable, commendable, if anything is excellent or good, good and right in the sight of God and praiseworthy, something that other individuals as well as God would say, that's the way it ought to be, praiseworthy, then you think about such things. Let your mind dwell on those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Whatever you've heard from me, revelation from God, revelation from the Holy Spirit, given by the apostles, given to us in the Bible, whatever we read in God's word that we have learned from God's word, whatever we've received from God's word, whatever we see in the life of Jesus, see in the life of Paul, see in the life of those who were doing right in God's sight, whatever we see that we know God wants us to be doing, put it into practice. Don't just acknowledge it. Do it. And the God of peace will be with you. That peace that passes all understanding will be ours. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are God's workmanship. Does that verse make any sense to you? We are not saved by works, but we are His workmanship. We are saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. Okay? It is because of what Jesus has done that mankind can be saved and mankind will be saved if we put our trust in Him. Does that mean that we have nothing to do? There's nothing for us to do? What about being faithful? Is that something we're to do? What about being obedient? Is that something we're to do? It absolutely is. And James is not talking about those kind, or rather Paul is not talking about those kind of things. James says, so if there's something for us to do, why? Why is there something we have to do? Because James tells us in James 2, 14 through 26, it is when you are obedient to Christ and when you are faithful to Him, you are demonstrating by what you do your faith in Him. Your works are not what saves you. Your works are not the reason you are saved. Your works are the demonstration of your faith in Jesus Christ. And it all ties together with this verse in Philippians 4. Do you want the peace of God that passes all understanding? Then open your heart to God and pray to Him and trust that He's listening. Open your heart and pray to God and know that He's working on your behalf and He hears every word that you say. Just like He heard every word Jesus prayed on that night in Gethsemane. Know that. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will be with you. Galatians 3:27, Paul says, all of those who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Not that baptism is the thing that saves me. Jesus is who saves me. But He saves me when I pay attention to Him, when I listen to Him, when I trust Him, when I strive to follow Him. There may be some here this morning that are not yet in Christ. There may be some who are ready to put on Christ. There may be some who need to come home to Christ or would desire to have a prayer with one of our elders. If you need or desire to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, we want to offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.